QSC, QSC, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q. Net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz plus offset of 600 kilohertz at a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted on the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month, conditions permitting. Repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, of which we wish to thank for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, go to bbarc.org. That's bbarc.org. Or visit the K6BB Amateur, Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, that's K6BB, Big Bear Amateur Radio Club Facebook page. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge and education of all technology, including amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications and technology. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Anybody out there? Are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right. One announcement is, of course, we last Tech Tuesday was before field day. And this is after field day, actually a good week after field day. I want to thank everybody out there who participated. A lot of hard work out there from many, many people with the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club and some that aren't with the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. A lot of great stuff happening out there. We had a lot of fun, and hopefully we can do the same thing, possibly another location. We always try to move around next year. All right, topic for the evening is going to be a little bit brief this evening. I just got home from work myself. That's okay, and it's still daylight out. Imagine that. Basically, we're going to talk about antennas, SWR, something really simple, whether it matches or not, basically, and efficiency, the big thing that nobody thinks about. Anyway, let's go through our roster here. Tattered as it may be, starting out with KA6CIA George.
And Tom, KA6CIA.
And good evening there, George. Don't know if you were at the breakfast this morning. Unfortunately, I just can't make those anymore. I wish I could. But anyway, maybe someday. All right, let's see here. Moving on down here. How about WA6ITC Rod? Not hearing Rod out there. How about KJ6FIL Mike?
Evening, present and unaccounted for. Thank you. KJ6FIL.
And good evening there, Mike, and appreciate all the help you gave us last Saturday. Great work. All right, next I have KJ6KDK Rosemary and KJ6KDL Jim. We don't hear right now. I'm sure he'll be with us soon. Anyway, let's see here. Let's give old Frank a call. W6GZI. Let's see if he's out there. Nothing heard from Frank. How about KI6IQA Kelly?
Sir, yes, sir. KI6IQA.
And good evening there, Kelly. Hope everything is going well with you. Glad you could join us this evening. Let's see here. How about K6GBL Ron from Green Valley? Not hearing Ron out there. 86PL Harold, Riverside. And no nobody out there from Riverside. Okay, how about K6LCS? Let's see if Quint's out there. Right, I knew the second, fourth Tuesday was going to get people messed up. That's okay. Oh, well, let's see here. Saw her yesterday. She's looking pretty good, doing well. W6JLM Judith and W6KMM Kent. And they're not out there this evening. That's okay. How about KJ6PYB, Dave, my right-hand man at field day. Ready? Well, kind of quiet out there this evening. Let's move on down to, let's see, let's try K6YNW, Chris, in Lower Desert.
Hi, Tom on the net, K6YNW.
Hello, Chris. Yeah, I think moving to the second and fourth Tuesdays might have messed a few people up there, but anyway, glad to hear you out there. All right, W6POO, let's see if Chip's out there. All right, not hearing Chip. How about KD6LA and Bill?
Yeah, KD6LA in here. And Tom, after you're done with your deck stuff, I would like to bring up another subject, but after you're done, we can talk about it. KD6LA.
All righty, well, good deal. Yeah, we're just going to have a little short one there about antenna efficiency. And we can move on to that. Well, I don't know if he's out there. He was out there for breakfast this morning. How about KJ6QYN Shelley? Not hearing him out there. That's okie dokes. Let's see. Moving on to the second sheet here. Alrighty, AE6CK. Let's see. We have Victor. Burn everybody out there at field day. That's what it was. KA6ROD, Rod.
Good evening, everyone. KA6ROD.
Hey, Rod. Glad to hear you out there. It's getting quiet. Okay, anyway, let's see if we got W6JET, Rod.
It's time in the net, W6JET.
Good evening there, Rob, and thanks a lot for your help out there at field day. Appreciate that. A lot of good work you did with Bill there. Well, everybody did, so appreciate your help. How about KJ6RAY? Let's see if he's out there, mobile. Not hearing him out there. Let's see if we, a couple others here. We, KK6FJE. See if we got Zach. We have Zach out this evening. How about KK6HUB, Bob?
I'm here for you, Tom. Hello, KK6HB.
Bob, it's going to be, kind of a brief net. Of course, we always say that, and it ends up going an hour. But good to have you out there. That's great. Okay. How about W2PFA? Let's see if we have Art. Right, we don't have Art out there. I know we have others out there, but you know what? We'll just go ahead and call for check-ins after that. Anybody else who would like to check in, please come back now.
6RJ.
AE6RJ, Harry, glad to have you out there. All right, anybody else?
6OHF.
Okay, I got OHF, and somebody was under you, I think, but go ahead, glad to have you out there. And was there another station in there?
Easy.
Hey, good old Raybo. Ray, glad to have you out there. PBZ, WB6PBZ. Anybody else? All right, well, that's okay. That's a good crowd out there this evening. Glad to have all of you join us. And anyway, something really quick here, and this is actually not going to change any way you have your antenna set up, of course, but it's something worth mentioning, and this is a little bit on the techie side of antennas. I know we all have either a dipole up in the air, or we might have a shortened dipole. This is a G5RV, and or the BKW is even shorter yet, and that's all good too. We're going to talk about actually those three right there: the dipole, the G5RV, and the BKW. Ray, real quick, I know you have that high wire in the sky. I have no idea what that is up there, but I think that's, is that a G5RV? Is that, I think that's what you have.
G5RV.
Well, very good. I know it works great for you. And, of course, that's better than having a separate dipole for every band. But one thing that's out there, we want to get our SWR down. Of course, that's, what is that? Well, that's real simple, is that we want all the power we send out to radiate and at least get out there in the air. We don't want it coming back at us. And, of course, if it comes back at us, that's called a high SWR, and that's very, very bad. Anyway, most of us know that, and if you don't, now you do. Let me reset. F6Q Tech Tuesday and the group every Tuesday that we can on the 2nd and 4th Tuesdays of the month. Well, one thing is a very minor detail is we want to make sure that we try to get the most bang for the buck, the magic golden egg, as we call it, for antennas. The G5RV is an attempt at that, so is the BKW. Now, they work on multiple bands by using a tuning section of the feed wire, which is basically window line. It has to be a specific length. There's a reason for that. It's actually that acts to tune the dipole up there, which is, well, definitely short, shorter than a full 75 meter would be. But it balances with the antenna itself so that we get this better tuning and the tuner down below doesn't have to work so hard. Let me reset. There, you say, well, that's really great, but then why would anybody want to put up a dipole? Well, there is one reason. There is what's called the efficiency of the antenna, which is never mentioned, and it basically, if you're without any other losses involved, the dipole for, say 3935, cut for 3935, will have 100% efficiency at 3935. And if you have anything shorter, even if you tune it, you can tune it with a section of feed wire. You can also tune it with your tuner. That makes your radio happy. SWR is happy, but the efficiency does drop. Let me reset. Matter of fact, depending on how short it is, the shorter it is, the more the efficiency drop is. The reason I'm bringing this up, I actually spotted this article. It's an older edition of QST, well-written, and it's something that really, is, we're all not going to go out there and drop our G5RVs and say, oh my gosh, I can't use this anymore. Of course you're going to use it, because it really is a good balance. But there is a sacrifice. That is the sacrifice. There is no magic bullet in antennas, and that sacrifice of being to work on many bands, essentially you lose efficiency. That efficiency actually shows up as a, just the power just does not radiate. Where does it go? Heat, other ways, I don't know, it doesn't come back because the SWR is balanced, but it just isn't as efficient. So anyway, a little bit on the tech side there. There are formulas to back that up. They look ungodly complex, but I do have an article that simplified that. Anybody would like to see that information, send me an email and I'll forward this stuff to you. So with that said, if you actually you want to get the best signal out there, like we do for field day, I mean, for field day, we try to tune our antennas for the band that station's working, and there's a reason, of course. That way we definitely get the best signal we're getting out there with the best transference into radiated power, so we get as far out there as we can reach. So there you go. Anyway, that's pretty much it. Any questions on that, please come back to KF6Q.
LAN.
Okay, I either had two people there or LAN, you got a really bad interference, but let's take LAN first.
Okay, quick question. Referencing that high gain antenna that I have, you told me, okay, the antenna says it's good for 10, 15, and 20 meters. Okay, maybe I misunderstood you for the field day, but why is it not good for all three bands, or did I misunderstand you and it is good for all three bands, but not for field day?
Well, okay, now this is actually a real simple answer there. It is a good antenna. It's a what we call a trapped dipole. In other words, the radiating element has got trap coils, and through these trap coils, certain frequencies are stopped and others are passed through. In the next trap coil, more frequencies are stopped and others are passed through. And basically what it does is allows you to use one element for three different bands, 10, 15, and 20. Now, a couple things here. Let's say, well, you were over there where we had the 20-meter station set up. And not that far away from us was the 15-meter station right over there by Gary. Well, now, if you are basically using that, let's say we had your antenna set up, or anybody's tri-bander, and what will happen is you're transmitting out there in 20, and that's all working very well. But that antenna senses Gary, even though he's probably 100 yards away, he's full power out there, 100 watts, whatever, on 15. That signal, that antenna is going to say, hey, wait, well, I have elements here that'll think that's really great. So what happens is you get mixing. It's going to actually be where it would normally reject, you know, that 15 meter. Like we had a dipole. That dipole was good for 20, no good for 15, and basically is not going to pick up Gary's signal. Your antenna would, and it would mix them, and we'd actually have kind of a garbled mess and some interference, to say the least. So that is why. Otherwise, if you were a one station only, one transmitter only, you would be great. You could use it. But when you have nearby transmitters on those frequencies that it's also tuned to, it does not work. Does that help answer your question?
Yes, it does, but it also opens another question. If, let's say, it is tuned for, let's say, 10 meter, will I have to readjust it or retune it for 15 or 20 meters should I decide to use that? Or once it's tuned for one band, is it only tuned or is it only good for one band at a time until it's retuned?
Now, once it's set up properly and the coils are, you'll see that there's an adjustment at each coil. They slide in and out. So when you actually tune that antenna up, you do tune all three bands. Well, you should tune all three bands. And you start with one and you get that, and then you work on the second, and you might want to go back to the first one, make sure it hasn't changed. But you can basically, by adjusting those, and with good equipment, you tune that up for all three bands. And that is good for all three bands if you were going to use it at your house or some, wherever. You could use any one of all three. Obviously, you can't use all three at the same time. It would be a mess. But you can switch between 10, 15, and 20. And that's the big advantage, actually, for somebody's base station at a house or whatever. That's the big advantage. You have one antenna that's tuned pretty good. Now, keep in mind, because of those coils, is basically the elements are shorter than they would normally be. Here again with efficiency, yes, it takes a hit. But this is done all the time. People are not worried so much about efficiency as they are good SWR and getting out on that band. So as far as that goes for tri-banders, that's pretty much it. So yeah, it needs to be tuned for all three, but once it's tuned up, should be good. Back to you again, Bill.
Good answer, and even I understood it. Thank you very much, KD6LAN.
Well, very good. Oh, hopefully everybody understood that. I really did not know, or the reasoning behind that. I actually was prepping same kind of antenna that we got down there in Long Beach, and I was all ready to take it to field day, I think, back in 2010 or whatever. And that's when Lanny told me, well, you know, we really don't want to do that. And he explained why. And at that point, I said, oh, well, you know, that makes sense. Never thought about that. So anyway, anybody else, any other questions out there, please come back. KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
E6PO.
Okay, there's Harold, and I almost stepped on somebody right after Harold. So, Harold, go ahead.
Well, I have a question here. Can I get a late check-in? 86PO.
Of course you can. Just signed an apology with a stamp, self-addressed stamp, envelope to me. No, I'm just kidding. Of course you can. Good to hear you out there, Harold. There was somebody else in there. Go ahead.
YNW.
Yes, Chris. Go ahead.
Yes, what's the schedule for the TechNet at this time, these days?
Yeah, we'll be doing Tech Tuesday now on the second Tuesday, which is today, and the fourth Tuesday. We actually have five Tuesdays this month, but that one doesn't count. So we'll have the second and fourth Tuesday of the month. I hope that everybody will still join us, and I know that it is on our Facebook page. We try to get that information out. And the only reason we're dropping back to just twice a month, I am really busy. I just got home from work minutes before we got on here, and I still want to keep this net going. And hopefully, as things kind of slow down towards fall, maybe we get back on here every Tuesday, and that would be great. And back to you, Chris.
Yes, very understandable. Tuesday we used to have the, the net on Killer Pete, and he got so busy with search and rescue that disappeared, so I understand that. C61.
Yeah, I know Rescue Net at 8 o'clock there, they used to have that. At Mike did a great job. It was fantastic, and I know that he did have to kind of hang it up for a while. Maybe sometime in the future he can get that back going. I really liked a lot of the stuff he discussed, so I think we all missed that. Anyway, anybody else with questions?
BTY.
Yes, go ahead.
I remember on Killer Peak this late in the evening. What net is this on Tuesday?
This net here is the Tech Tuesday net, and we used to be every Tuesday here on Big Bear at 7 o'clock, but we're swimming down to the second and fourth Tuesdays. Generally, we have a lot of, low-level tech stuff, and then I know at 8 o'clock, Mike used to have his, on Killer, he used to have that rescue net, but I guess that's been gone for a while. Back to you.
Thank you. This is KK6BTY, Cameron and Corona.
Well, Cameron and Corona there, glad you could join us this evening. Appreciate that. So hopefully that answers your questions. Back to you one more time.
Thank you very much.
Good to hear you out there from Corona. Anybody else with any other questions before we move on to another topic?
G6PO.
Harold, go ahead.
I saw, I looked up the BKW antenna, which is a version they call it optimized G5RP, and the one that I found, instead of ladder line, they were using twin lead, TV twin lead. Is there a major difference in doing that, or is it, doesn't make any difference? 86PO.
Well, typically ladder or window line, as we call it, we call it ladder line. It's actually window line. It's 450 ohm, what they call characteristic impedance. TV lead-in, twin lead, is typically 300. If you're real lucky, I think they actually, there was 75, which is real rare, but I think that's all gone. Most of that's all coax. But anyway, I would say that he's probably designed his antenna using that 300 ohm line. So if he designed it that way, the length of that is based on the 300 ohms. So you could try 450 ohm window line, but it may not work as well. I would say that that's probably a guess. It may work, because basically what we're dealing here with is what they call transmission line, and certain lengths it'll look like an inductor, and certain lengths it'll look like a capacitor. But basically, that's based on the wavelength of the frequency, not the characteristic impedance so much. I know this is getting way technical. I would say, as a roll of the dice, it will probably work, but you would have to check it out. You know, the 300 ohm he's probably using because he had it. I would say going from 300 to 450 should still work. So that's my best guess.
I remember right, he stated 300 ohm and 600 ohm twin lead. So, and my guess is you can't find either one of them anymore, but because there's no more antennas going on people's roofs. So if there is, it's run with a coax, as far as I can tell. But that was, like I said, I went online and looked it up, and he had 300 ohm twin lead and 600 ohm twin lead, AD6P.
Yeah, you might get lucky and find some on eBay. The 300 is not as common, of course, for that reason. And 600 actually was another option for ham radios, as the 450 is more popular, more common, and you'll see that out there just about anywhere. But yeah, sometimes you got to be careful. You got to find the stuff that they put out there, and you know, I've been looking through articles, and I say, oh, this is really neat. And then I find this article is from the mid-1970s, and some of the stuff they're specifying there is like, well, we're not going to find that at Radio Shack. We'll be lucky we find it anywhere. So, anyway, good deal. Glad to hear you out there. And I'd say that you could probably use either one. Anybody else out there? Any questions? And I never call her name, and then she jumps in there. Christy, KB6LTY.
Good evening, Tom. Just wanted to let you know you can find a 300 ohm twin lead at DX Engineering, and good old Radio Shack still has it. DX Engineering also has the 450. Thanks, Tom. KB6LTY.
Now, Christy, and of course, Clint, let me know that you had great success with the ISS on field day. Congrats on that. We had a setup out there, and we just weren't able to get in. So, but anyway, good deal. Fantastic. Love to see you do stuff like that. And I guess that was, you had a scout or somebody that got in there?
His granddad set him up for it, and I could actually could hear him on the recording. No joy on my end either, but could hear everything. It was a great listening to all of that. It was just wonderful, and we were actually able to retrieve the recording of his contact. So yeah, it was really cool. He's one of our youngest members, KB6LTY.
Real quick, how old is he?
No, I think he's like 10 or 11.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah, that's, and this will be something he can look back to for the rest of his life. That's no doubt. Well, good deal. And keep up the good work there. Appreciate that. Anybody else out there? Any questions?
It's Harold.
Yes, Harold, go ahead.
Before I forget it, I just wanted to toss in some information. I went to Radio Shack here in Riverside the other day, And, oh, by the way, Electronic Warehouse probably has a big supply of that. Twin Lead, they've got all the junk they ever had in there. But anyway, I went to Radio Shack, and they have a bunch of stuff from this, I guess a big corporation called Make, M-A-K-E. They put out a monthly magazine. They put out kits. They put out parts for kits. They have a robotic kit for $80, I believe it was, and you can make one or the other of two different platforms. They have an add-on that I think it was $40. These are moving, sensing, really neat looking little kit, and they have the parts. If you want to just part out a robot and build it yourself, they have the parts to build your own motor with, your own specifications. They have the magazine. They have a book called Robots and Gimmicks or something like that, if you're interested in that. They have another thing about Arduino. They have a bunch of stuff with Raspberry Pi. They're getting pretty technical over there. Shame that they're helping 86 people.
Yeah, Make Magazine, yeah, they have a great website. I mean, you can go on there, just like Nuts and Volts, if you get hold of any of the Nuts and Volts issues, I don't care if you go back 15 years, 20 years ago, it's all cool stuff. Some of it's, of course, older parts. They've all been up to date with, as technology has moved ahead. Well, our PIC, which is PIC, anybody who's ever heard PIC, you've heard of PIC devices, stands for Peripheral Interface Controller. There you go. Technical definition. If you didn't know that, you learned that here tonight. Anyway, PIC, that's what it stands for. And they started out with 8-bit, 16-bit, now they're pushing the 32-bit, and many other manufacturers. That's one specific manufacturer are out there. So, yeah, it's all cool stuff. You know, get your soldering guns out, guys, and go to town. Anyway, anybody else with questions?
QCSA, just want to let you know I'm here. Joined you late.
Glad to have you out there. This is KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group every second and fourth Tuesday that we can. Good deal, Art, and I haven't forgotten about your controller. I'll try to dig that out as soon as I get a chance here. Anyway, anybody else with questions?
KJ6KDL.
There he is. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, I got in about 7:15 and heard the end of the antenna conversation. Good topic. Sorry I couldn't get in the beginning of it. Sometimes work calls. I did have a question. You may have covered it, and I may have to go back to the, I might as well mention it. I do record these. I have not been putting them up on the internet the last couple of months, but I swear I'll get caught up soon. If you go to bbarc.org, there is a link to Tech Tuesday audio, and I will start updating it. But my question was, since I heard LAN's question, did you cover, or do you think it would be something to cover tonight? Basically, when you talk about efficiency of the antenna with the radio and efficiency of the antenna with transmission, the also image rejection, my question is against... you may have a very efficient antenna that picks up everything and you get a lot of spurious noise, as opposed to an antenna that's not quite as efficient, but it's able to reject sideband transmission. So what you get a lot clearer, and it's a lot easier to understand. And I understand the radio does a lot of that in electronics. What do you think?
Well, okay. Gotta say this without getting too technical. In the world of electronics, passive devices, that's something that just sits there, and some active devices like a transistor or a tube, basically what we call black box view. In other words, not knowing what is there, it either looks like a pure resistance or it looks like an inductance with some resistance, which would be a coil, or it looks like a capacitor with some resistance. It won't look like a coil and a capacitor at the same time. It'll look like one or the other with some resistance or pure resistance. Well, pure resistance is kind of rare because wire has inductance. And if wire is next to something, it has capacitance. But enter the piece of wire that we have nicknamed an antenna. Let me reset. Okay. Any piece of wire, metal, tube, whatever length is tuned or just physically how it exists as a perfectly match of inductance and capacitance at one frequency and one frequency only, period, no more. So if you have something that's say around 39 inches long for 2 meter radio R band, and when a specific frequency in that band, of course, that specific length will be a perfect pure resistance. No inductance, no capacitance. They actually oppositely oppose each other. You can imagine like a north and south pole of a magnet. That's really a poor demonstration, but in the same sense, they are exact opposites. And when they cancel, that is the resonant frequency. Let me reset one more time. So any piece of wire will pick up a frequency, any electromagnetic wave that is coming across, it'll pick that up. Now, everything off of that, it rejects. It'll pick up certain, it'll be semi-resonant at multiples of that frequency, certain multiples, odd multiples if it's a half wave. If it's a loop, it'll be all multiples. But all, as far as an antenna rejecting other signals, they all do that. And none do it any better than others, other than the fact that they are tuned for one frequency. So they may say, well, this will do this and do that, and all they're really doing is throwing a bunch of info out there that is really true for just about everything, and they're going to bury you in pizzazz. But basically, that's the facts of antennas. So I don't know if that's helped you at all, but go ahead and we'll continue this on, Jim. Go ahead.
Wayne W.
Yeah, go ahead, Wayne W. That was pretty good.
Yes, you're probably talking about the cue of the antenna. And the second thing is, unless there's something new here, they make the antenna so inefficient that it does a mediocre job on what you want, but it doesn't let other things in. P6YW.
Right, let me expand on that with what we call the cue of the antenna, which is basically if anybody, and I'm not going to say that everybody out there will know this, most people probably will not, a capacitor in a coil will resonate at a specific frequency. You can also vary that coil to a different value and then vary that capacitor to a different another value to compensate for that in the opposite direction, and it'll also resonate at that original frequency. So you could basically have an infinite combination of inductance and capacitance, coils and capacitors, that'll resonate at a specific frequency. But there is a change here. There's a trade-off. There is a thing called Q. In other words, how sharply does it reject from each side? And that Q is what we call the Q factor. Well, moving a little bit further than that, let me reset. A loop antenna, we use big loops sometimes, delta loops, quad antennas, for the HF bands, those are all loops. Loops typically have what we call a very low Q. It means they're not real selective. They're good at one frequency, but they don't get real crazy as you drift off that frequency. This is good because, you know, if you're in a ham band, you really want it to work from the bottom of the band to the top of the band. So a low Q antenna is a good thing. Unless you really only want one frequency only, Now you want a high Q. Most of the time we want a low Q. You know, we want it to be very broad banded. But as it gets very narrow banded, that would be a high Q. And basically with that, that goes from various types of antennas. Basically, if you have a single wire, it's going to be either a monopole as a ground plane. It will be an NFET dipole, which is like the J pole. Different types like that. And they'll have different, you know, cues. But you know, a J pole is a J pole, a quad's a quad, and all that. So anyway, yeah. And who knows what you're going to buy when you buy it. Anyway, it's KF6Q. Back to questions. And Jim, if you want anything more on that, please come back.
No, that was it. It was the Q factor. That's what I was wanting to get mentioned. And very good. I appreciate it. Thanks. We got it on the recording, and soon it'll be up there.
Well, good deal. I know that you're buried. I'm buried. It's the economy. Oh, wait a minute. It's getting better. In some areas, not everything out there. It's going to be still a slow climb. All right, any other questions out there?
Tom, this is K6GBL.
Well, Ron, when I don't hear you out there, I figure Mexico is taking us out.
No, I just plumb forgot tonight, so give me a check-in if you would, please.
Got to check in there, Ron. Yeah, and I know it's a little bit confusing out there. I really apologize for that. Yeah, we are doing this now only on the second Tuesday. I almost forgot. I said, well, this isn't the second Tuesday, and my wife reminded me, so no, the first was a, July 1st was the first Tuesday. I said, uh-oh. So here we are. So it's the second Tuesday and the fourth Tuesday. As things work-wise slow down a little bit, we'll probably in the future get back to every Tuesday. Then you don't have to worry about it, as long as it's Tuesday. Good to hear you out there, Ron. All right, anybody else out there with questions? All right, good deal. Well, we have another topic, and Bill, KD6LAN, go ahead.
Well, thank you. First off, I'd like to echo Tom's thanks for everybody that helped out this past weekend, Friday and Saturday, especially Saturday. And next in line is my comments, and let it be known that I am not an OO, and I don't know all there is to know about ham radio. Let me reset. Boy, that was timing, wasn't it? KD6LAN here. I would just like to bring up something that I noticed a couple of times during this past weekend when it was extremely busy, and maybe some of us forgot, but Tom, you can add to this, I think, I hope. We have really got to be careful when we're broadcasting. It's my understanding that broadcasting is extremely bad no-no, bad juju. We want to be careful on how we pass on information, whether it be extremely important or just a little important or whatever. Broadcasting is a no-no, and there were a few incidences this past weekend where somebody was broadcasting, or a couple of people were broadcasting. Tom, you want to expand on that?
Yeah, okay, Bill, and actually, just to clarify that, and of course, everybody out there has heard Nets, this is a Net, and am I broadcasting right now? Well, basically, no. I am communicating with this group on our roll call. We have all these members up here, and I am actually addressing these people. And of course, when we do have our different Nets, whether they're ECS or CERT or the Club Net, and Nets are kind of a gray area in this, because you're basically, you're calling specific stations, or you're addressing specific stations out there. And of course, this is what we're doing here too, as we're addressing our Tech Tuesday group. But it's very easy if you're volunteering information during a time of alert, like we had Saturday, we had earthquakes, we had flash flood warnings. I was running a net just to keep the traffic straight. We had traffic collisions, we had road closures, we had rocks all over the highways, and let me reset. And with all that going on, so there was a reason for that, and we wanted to keep the traffic on a priority-only basis, and that's fine. And as people out there volunteering information, you have to be very careful as you should actually address the net controller, or supposedly we don't have a net, you should address some individual out there. Sometimes that individual may not even be listening, but you can address your message to him, calling him and letting him know that there's a flash flood on the 18 going down the back way, which there isn't, so if anybody just heard that, that's not happening. But you need to address that to a person when, if you basically just say, hey guys, there's a big rock over here on the highway on 38 right there by Jenks Lake Road, just north of that, Jenks Lake East. You're not really addressing anybody, hey guys, or just to let everybody know. You have to be careful because that is actually considered broadcasting. If you said, hey, KD6LAN, there's a rock over here, and if you're out there, I want to let you know if you're going over there. Well, Bill may not even be out there, but you basically addressed it to that person. Oh, wait, since everybody's kind of listening, they also got that message. You're not truly broadcasting now, and that keeps you on the P's and Q's there of the FCC. Let me reset. With that said, am I the radio police? Of course not. But there are radio police out there, and they're called official observers. And they're essentially PAMs, and they're out there just to keep the peace between us and the FCC. And you'll know if you're not, because they'll basically, they can send you a citation. And that's a warning. It's not a fine. If you continue to do the same thing, then you're going to end up in trouble. But basically, this is just to help people out there. Please, if you're trying to let people know about something, please address it to some ham that you know, whether he's listening or not. You're at least letting him know. And if we all happen to eavesdrop and hear that, that is perfectly legal. Bill, I hope that covered that. Back to you. Okay, I had somebody else in there. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Right. I've gone out and I've said, hey, if there's anyone out there, they blocked the number one lane. So apparently that's a no-go, K6YW.
Yeah, Chris, and you know what? I have to say this, that basically what people or yourself or anybody has done, you're doing good. We're just saying, like, the protocol of just to keep you from getting in trouble. And I've heard of a few people actually, they get wrote up on that. And it doesn't mean that there is no fine. It's just kind of like, this is what they're looking for. So let's just do that. And it's really not a big deal. Just, I think Bill brought that up simply just to help people from, getting into any trouble. That's all. So, yeah, just if you can, it's just we advise that. Can't make you do that, but we advise that, and it just keeps everybody with a good status quo. Back to you, Chris.
Hey, thank you. And like you say, no problem. K6TQM, if you're out there in the freeway, appreciate it. K6YB.
There you go. That's cool. That just helps to keep everybody happy. We have somebody else in there. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is W6JET. Okay, on the same thing that you're talking about there, what's the difference of identifying yourself on the frequency you're broadcasting because you're not talking to somebody or got a reverse? So that's kind of an iffy answer on both of it there. And like in an emergency, somebody's just giving out the emergency, not emergency, but whatever. So that's kind of an iffy thing and an iffy answer, I think.
Oh, man.
Before we get Harold's comment, and I agree with that, it's kind of like calling CQ. Well, who is CQ? There's nobody named CQ, but that's, in a sense, broadcasting, right? But that's okay. Okay, so, hey, I didn't write the rule book, Rob, and I know what you're saying, and, you know, if you get on there and, you know, announce yourself, like, say, I do that. It's like, this is KF6Q mobile monitoring, and am I broadcasting? Well, in a sense, I guess so, but it's kind of an accepted, also a saying like CQ. So no, there's a lot of gray area here, and you know, if you're announcing yourself on the radio, yeah, okay, that seems to be acceptable. And like I said, I didn't write the rule book, you know, but if you actually you jump out there, and if it's an emergency situation, hey, I understand a lot of bets are off on that, and we all want to hear that information. So this is simply just to let people know that what can be considered broadcasting, that's it. You know, it's back to you, Rob, before we send it over to Harold.
Stand by comment, and I'll let you take it. Yeah, well, I see it that way, too, but at least you're giving your call, so you're not just broadcasting like what happens on HF and sometimes, but you know, and a lot of business talk, that's the same thing. You're getting into the same gray area, how much you can talk about what's going on, etc., etc. So it just depends on how many people take it, but we'll go for whatever the repeater wants to make it as. W6JET.
And that's another thing about business. Sometimes, well, you know, we don't operate and send our guys out and give them instructions, you know, over that. But sometimes we'll say, like, hey, you know, there's a guy wants to talk to you about something. And, you know, that's, you know, oh, you want to talk to me about work? You want to talk to me about a radio you're going to sell? Or what? No price quotes, no estimates, no anything beyond that. And that would be a no. Then you're actually conducting business. But we have ham nets for selling radios on 40 meters. I mean, the sole purpose is to sell radios, swap nets. So go figure. Anyway, okay, like I said, I don't write the rules. Okay, we got two people out there with comments. I got you out there, Harry, but before you, I had Harold. Harold, go ahead.
Hey, I think there's a little confusion. The FCC rule is extremely strict on one-way conversations, which they term as broadcasting. Broadcasting is for pay and a continuous, like an infomercial crap. I hear on Clara and several other repeaters, when somebody has information to pass along that would be helpful to other people on the highways or near a fire or whatever is going on, an emergency situation, they get on this QST, 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 their call sign, and a statement, a concise, brief statement of what is going on and exactly where it's going on. Identify again and say thank you to the net or to the control operator on the repeater and get off of it. And then if anybody has a question, they come back and ask you about it. And as far as the selling, that is, if you have a pecuniary interest in what you're discussing, as far as businesses go, and if you're like doing business over ham radio, you're going to get in a lot of trouble. You know, I wish that you would have used your telephone. But the swamp nets are, the way I understand it, are specifically exempted as long as you're selling ham radio equipment to other hams, not to outsiders. And if another ham buys your equipment and wants to sell it to somebody else, that's their business. But that's my understanding on the rule, but you can check it out. 86 PM. 2.
in the group. Second and fourth Tuesdays, guys. Second and fourth Tuesdays. This is the second Tuesday. You know, and Harold, that's pretty much it. There's these, you know, we'll call them exceptions or whatever, or guidelines, and these are accepted. And we, as long as we stick into that, that's fine. Getting out there and, you know, actually one-way conversation on and on, that's, you know, then you're not. That's the bad part. So, all right, have another guy out there for info, but I have to give it back to Harry first. Harry, go ahead.
Thank you, Tom. K6RJ here. Sugar over. On HF, for example, Western Public Service System, 3952, early monitoring session between 6 and 7 o'clock. It is encouraged for the early monitor to keep the frequency occupied by every 10 minutes or less to identify the net and have other announcements that they can read off a list, like forthcoming or next picnic or whatever event. And that's been going on for years. Now that makes me almost wonder, are there different rules for HF than there for VHF?
You know, Harry, I think he said the magic word there is a net. And I think nets are accepted as basically a group of people. There may be a net controller, but he's actually talking to the members of that net, whether they're listening or not. Now, that's a whole different story. Just like what we do with CERG or ECS or the Ham Club net, this net. I think it's the magic word is net. And since we're doing a net, whether it's a swap net or whatever on HF, with that said, we're actually addressing the group. We're not broadcasting, in a sense. It may sound like that to somebody who's not savvy with that, but basically you're addressing the members of the net. I think that's the key word there. Harry, I'll go ahead and send it back to you one more time.
Oh, thanks, Tom. You explained it very well. Makes sense. K6RJ.
You know, that's just a guess, Harry. I think that's it. I think that's, hopefully that's clearing up a few things. And yeah, ham radio, of course, got to be very cool with all that stuff. But anyway, and somebody else was in there. Go ahead.
UA6FI is that?
Ah, the voice of Moon Ridge. Hello, Mickey. How you doing?
Doing just fine. Just listening to the conversation here, and you know about broadcasting, and I guess there's a lot of that, especially malicious interference. That might be considered broadcasting.
Yeah, and I think just what I was talking with Harry there, I think that basically when we do nets, that's good. And of course, when there's an emergency, do special rules apply? Well, you know what? Here's a thought. I want everybody to think about this and to what Rob was saying. Let's say there's a boulder just came, you're on the Arctic Circle, and, you know, you're driving and you look in your rear vision mirror and a boulder just came down from a rock slide or whatever and is blocking whatever lane, the traffic. Now, by announcing that, with, you know, you're looking at, if somebody did not know that, it could possibly be create injuries or could be fatal. You're looking at a very specific type of information there that, you know, could be life and death in a few moments because of the fact of that. So, yeah, I think there's a little leniency there on something like that. Of course, if you can still abide by addressing somebody out there, you could be QST, 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 all hams, which is only going to be hams listening to you, all hams traveling Arctic Circle, you know, be advised that And now you're talking to all the hams out there. You're actually addressing, you're not broadcasting. You've actually named your group. So, yeah, there's a lot of things there. But the main thing on something like that, get that information out there. So, yeah, sometimes I think the rules need, or I'm not going to say they need to be met, but they probably could be in certain situations. Go ahead, Mickey.
Be very good. Yeah, well, it sounds like if it's information pertinent to safety, that would be acceptable. Somebody gets on and just wants to read some literature, tell a story without a specific person on the other end, I think that might be broadcasting. And there are groups that get on, and they do seem to be broadcasting, but they're talking to their buddy. So if they want to read something, and their buddy is on the other end, said, yeah, well, that's very interesting. Is it broadcasting, or is it a way to get around it?
Yeah, and I think if you're definitely addressing somebody, then you're not broadcasting. Broadcasting is actually just communicating to absolutely nobody in particular. And that's probably the workaround, as we would call it, or the acceptable substitute. So at that, we'll have to leave that at that. But I think, yeah, as long as we make an attempt to address somebody as a group, or, you know, like I said, there's times where it could be a very possible life and death situation if that information does not get out there. So you can do it the proper way. If it wasn't done the proper way, you know, I'm not sure how that would be addressed. To me, I think that, you know, there should be a little leniency there, but that's just me, you know, so. Anyway, all right, well, I think that's enough of that. So hopefully that's answered the question. Unless there's more, and that's why we're here. Anybody else? Come back to KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group. Any questions?
Comment. Brian W. also.
Yes, Harold, go ahead first, and then we'll get to Chris.
I listen to Clara on our YouTube, and I pass information. Anybody on the freeway has information that is helpful about traffic jams, about collisions, anything else. There is no rule against passing that information to the general population that's listening. It's just the way you do it. And there isn't really a set formula, the way I understand it. But anybody that wants to know what the rules are, ARRL sells a book. You can buy it at any HRO, AES, most of the larger CB shops will have it, or you can go online. But if you go online, don't go to the FCC. They do not have it on their website. You can buy the entire title from them, which is a huge amount of money. It's a whole lot of paper. You don't want it. Just that one little section applies to you. But you go to ARRL website, and you can download the whole book there if you want it, 86 pounds.
Pretty good. Yeah, and it's kind of like, and I'm going to just hand this to Chris real quick in a second, but anybody out there who's ever been involved in the construction industry, there's a thing called the Universal Building Code, the UBC, and if you try to read that and understand it, good luck. They actually sell more books on understanding the UBC. And of course, the UBC changes year to year. Different building departments will actually not update immediately. They give like a 2 or 3 year period for the industry to change. But the same thing, the UBC, Universal Building Code, almost impossible to understand. And sometimes you can read into it that stuff that's not there. And I think that Part 97, you got to be careful. It's how it's interpreted and how it's applied, but it's out there. So at best, I'd say you know, it doesn't hurt to read it because it's there. Anyway, I'm going to send it over to Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
Tom, you finally said it. Interpretation. Proceed.
Okay, yes. I'm a member of the Catalina Amateur Radio Club. Some Mondays I check in the net. I miss a few. But afterwards, they have their swap net, and there's no problem. Now, if someone was there every week for a whole year, there might be some question, but that hasn't happened. And they only have a caveat that this club itself, it gets people together, but they're not responsible for the transaction. And also, my Eileen says to compliment you how efficient you are and courteous for this net, K6YT.
Thank you. Thank you for the compliment. You know, and actually, that's, you know, like I said, it's really, you know, it's the best. I think, actually, myself, my personal opinion, and I'd love to have one here on our repeater, which we don't, a swap net, because basically it puts hams in touch with other hams. We have hams that are, we're a ham community, and basically somebody's looking for an HF radio, but they only want to spend so much money, or they're looking for this particular radio, you know, and they have so much for a budget. And we're not out to make a profit with that. We're basically hooking up somebody who's getting rid of something, who's somebody who wants to buy something. Now, if there's a profit made, it could be there. If a business set up, say, you know, like HRO came on there and had specials on there, well, no, that would not be right. But I think a swap net's a good thing. And I think they're great, you know, because they hook up in that interpretation. So anyway, that's me. So anyway, let's see. I think we got everybody covered who had any other questions. Let's send it out there again. Carol, go ahead.
Keller has a swap net every Tuesday night, I think it is. It should be ending now. But I tuned up. I was just spinning a dial last Tuesday and ran across it. So that's the way I found out about it. It's also on their website. So I'm not sure what all they have over there. If you're out toward the Ventura County line, you can receive the Ojai repeater up there. They have a big swap net up there also, A86
Field. YNW, that's Wednesday that they have a swap net, A6YNW.
Okay, I appreciate that correction there, Chris. Good deal. You know, and actually, it would be good to have a swap net on the Big Bear repeater. We do have members that offer stuff. From time to time, we have some stuff out there. Unfortunately, it only goes out to the members because of the fact that they're on the email list. But it would be a good thing to have that. And right now, like I say, we only get like one or two things. But I think if it was known that the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club had one here, say after Tech Tuesday or something, it's a very good possibility. We're going to suggest that. Basically, I'll do it at the next meeting. Being the president of the club, I can actually do that, you know, by any rights, you know, if we can get somebody to host that. And it'll take a while because we need to actually get all this information out to everybody that we know with our club, you know, buying and selling as far as on the swap net and how that would work. So we'll set some basic, you know, guidelines there. But I think it'd be a great thing. I know a couple hams out there that are looking for specific gear. I know a few out there with our club that are actually have a few things that they don't want, and we have this happening all the time. It would be good to, even if there was only two things, it'd be a real short swap net, you know. It could build from that. So anyway, hopefully we'll do that. I think maybe Tuesday would be a good night, if it doesn't conflict with anything else, Harold. If that was correct, we're not in competition with somebody else, so we don't want to draw everybody here away from somebody. So if Tuesday after Check Tuesday would be bad, you know, please come back to KF6Q.
It may be on Wednesday. I'm not sure. You can check their website real quick, KPRA .com or .org or something, and it gives you all the information on there. I was sitting here, I was really bored out of my head, there was nothing going on, and I was turning around to see what was happening on different repeaters, and I come across the swamp, and so I just sat there and listened to it, and what little was left of it, it's, I think that they have a limitation on how long you can leave anything on the air, but that's something you have to check out up there. They can probably give you the bare bones on how to set it up real quick. 86 PM.
Confirmation.
The man who would know. Go ahead, Kelly.
Wednesday night from 7 to 8. Wednesday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. every Wednesday. And that should take about 14 minutes. And the guy that does it drags it out for an hour and 15, so be careful what you ask for. Okay, I see you.
Bert, K6 PFO. He's an interesting character. It says, all right, K6 1.
Well, very good. Okay, so Wednesdays, if that's so, great. Appreciate that, Chris and Kelly. So, possibly Tech Tuesday would, after Tech Tuesday, that would actually give us good reason not to run over like we are right now, but that's okay. We're kind of discussing some futures here. I'm already here. I could go ahead and start it out, but I would like to have somebody take it over from the club later, just to give me a break with that, but I could do that. You know, we could do that. And Kelly, real quick, is that every Wednesday?
So far, it has been every Wednesday. I think maybe he missed one because he had the flu or something, but every Wednesday. Every Wednesday for, I believe, coming up on about a year and 3 months. So, it should be called Kurt's Social Hour and SwapNet instead of being called the SwapNet. That would be a better title for the net. KI6XUA.
Okay, well, perhaps for our ours here, as we are in the second and fourth Tuesday, still do the same, second and fourth Tuesday, because I don't know how much would change in week to week, but every other week could be good. And then we could just do that starting here. I'll try to get that out through our club secretary and pass it around, running up the flagpole, as they say, and I don't think there'd be a problem with that. It's actually pretty cool stuff. So I'll listen out on a couple others, and of course if anybody has any suggestions, please go ahead and send them to me. That's KF6Q, that's my call sign, at ARRL.net. And appreciate all information on that, or suggestions, be great. So we'll see if we can get this set up. Don't hold your breath, it won't be tonight, as we're already here, and it may not be on the fourth Tuesday of this month, or it might, you know, if we get it rolling, we'll let you know on Tech Tuesday, but it'll all be good. Anyway, let's try to get out of here pretty quick. Any other questions?
JG.
Yes, Rob, go ahead.
This is on another subject, but kind of important. Remember we were talking about the timeout timer on your transmitters. Remember field day, somebody had the repeater tied up for a few hours there, so that might be something that you might want to announce.
Yeah, and I think that was we'll just want to classify that one as accidental. Yeah, when we were doing setup, somebody had the unintentional. But anyway, anybody who wants to set that up, it's a good way to keep yourself from, you know, inadvertently transmitting past a certain amount of time. I think, and I'm going to say this as a guess, basic HTs, if you don't push the button, it doesn't transmit. But a lot of people use a hand mic and on an HT, speaker mic. It's very easy for that speaker mic to, say, fall up against something. I've had my own mobile mic, as everybody knows, time to time, gets stuck between the seat or something, and, you know, there I am unintentionally, you know, and hopefully somebody gives me a phone call soon, but that doesn't happen anymore. So, but yeah, so that happens. So that's kind of a cool thing to set up on your own gear so that should something happen, it'll time out and stop on its own. So kind of neat. Appreciate that, Rob. Good information. Anybody else before we close down this net? All right, well, good net, I think. Once again, we were going to have a little short net here. It is 8:15, gentlemen and ladies out there listening. That's okay, fine. It's always good when we have a lot of good information. I think we've had a bunch of great information this evening, a couple of good topics there, and that's what we want. You know, this is what this net's all about, so... Hopefully, join us again, not next Tuesday. It'll be the fourth Tuesday of the month, so 2 weeks from now, right here on the K6BB repeater at 7 o'clock. Hope to see you there, and if you hear anybody, if you listen out on next Tuesday and somebody's looking for us, please let them know. I will try to return it every Tuesday when I can. Right, it's probably going to be another month or two before I can do that, but... we're going to keep Tech Tuesday going. So anyway, let me reset. QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KM6Q. We'll be closing the net at, holy cow, 2,000 hours and 17 minutes. I want to thank everybody out there this evening. Great comments, great topics, great ideas, great questions. Please come back again in 2 weeks, and we'll do it again on something different. Like we've been doing for over 3 years. I think we're going on our fourth year now, so good deal. KF6Q, returning the repeater back to normal use.